Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So I'm finding the whole Russia-Ukrainian story to be very, very confusing. It's now the third anniversary of the war, and very, very clearly, unless something changes quite dramatically, this is just set to continue. Peter Fabricius is an independent journalist and an analyst on foreign policy issues. Peter, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Fine, yeah.
I am good, thank you. So the what is the latest, and well, we'll get into Trump and the foreign policy now, but what is the latest with in terms of this war?
Yeah, well, I mean, on the battlefield, you know, I think it just continues as it has been. The Russian troops making slow, grinding progress in the east. Heavy casualties all around. It seems like the Ukrainians are sort of losing ground. But I mean, the real developments have been the political ones, obviously, with Trump seemingly switching sides. You could almost say Ukraine and Zelensky for the start of the war, and sort of taking Russia's side. And yeah, as we saw the other day at the United Nations, where, you know, the U.S. basically voted with Russia and China on a resolution on Ukraine rather than with its traditional Western allies, which is kind of
weird.
I mean, added to the consternation amongst those European allies, which we saw at the Munich Security Conference when J.D. Vance attacked them, and basically, you know, the Trump administration has been embracing the far-right Alternative for Germany party. And so, yeah, I mean, Trump is just turning the world order on its head, basically. And Ukraine is, I think, a victim of that.
Paying the price. What would be Trump's motivation or reasoning in terms of the strategy? It doesn't appear to be rational.
You know, Trump, I don't think, is a very rational person, to be honest. He's a very impulsive person. He's a narcissist, an egoist. And I think he thinks he alone can pull off a deal in Ukraine. He can bring the war to an end, as he promised during his campaign. Actually, he said he would do it within a day, which obviously hasn't done. But, I mean, it's a kind of a... you know, he keeps boasting about how he's the master of the deal, and he thinks he can do that deal. The trouble is that it looks like the only way you could do a deal like that is very much in Russia's favor, you know, because it would require Ukraine to surrender 20% of its land and so on. So it's a normal kind of Trump thing. Like, I get the credit for, you know, for pulling off a deal, but you know, tough on you, Ukraine, for what you will experience in this deal, you know?
Yeah, because that so what would, do we have any idea of what this deal would look like?
You know, look, I mean, it's very clear that one thing will look like would be that, you know, Ukraine gives up a whole bunch of its land, presumably the land that it currently has already ceded to the Russian invaders, you know, because, I mean, I can't see Trump somehow persuading Putin to retreat from any land that he's occupied. And now the new dimension in this thing is this kind of critical minerals deal, which the Trump administration has been negotiating with Zelensky, which just, I mean, it's quite hard to read, but it seems to be a deal that's very much in the U.S. favor. Like, gives them access to a huge amount of mineral resources of Ukraine, and doesn't seem to be offering any kind of security guarantees in exchange, which is what Zelensky wants. I mean, the details of that have not yet fully emerged, so we don't know. But it's a typical sort of Trumpian maneuver, you know, like you get nothing for nothing from us. You know, I mean, the Biden administration offered a lot of assistance because they could see the geopolitical advantage of stopping Russia in its tracks in Ukraine, but all Trump can see is, you know, dollars and cents. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it really does. Let's just talk about the, you know, he's painting Zelensky as some kind of a dictator. Is there validity in what Trump is saying here?
Now, look, I tell you, you know, what that derives from is the fact that under the Ukrainian constitution, one may not have elections at a time when there's a state, a martial law, time of martial law, which martial law, I mean, was obviously declared after Russia invaded 3 years ago. And that's what the constitution states, that you may not have elections. So Zelensky's term has actually expired, really. It expired, you know, sort of 18 months ago or so. But they cannot have elections because of the constitution. So Trump is taking advantage of that situation, which is a predicament, really, in a way, because, you know, he's sticking to the constitution.
It's really interesting to see. I see Zelensky did say that he would resign if it meant peace for Ukraine.
Yeah, exactly. So he's trying to say, this is not about me. This is about you know, this is about the country, which I think is true. Actually, I'm inclined to believe him in that.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. It'll just be interesting to see how this all plays out. Peter Fabricius, thank you. As always, independent journalist, analyst on foreign policy issues. Give me your thoughts, your reaction. Do you think that Trump is doing something very, very odd here? Unsigned says what Trump is doing is extraordinary. The facts contradict your guest. What do you think? 0618951019. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.